Of the book of Matthew, 12th chapter of the book of Matthew, 43rd verse. 43rd verse of the 12th chapter of Matthew. I'm glad to have all these little boys and girls here today. We're glad to have Miss Sipley. Hey, Sipley, cut that out. Cut that out. Yeah, Sipley, cut that out. Hey, you quit that. Don't you cry. You out crying me. I want you to cut it out. Well, if you see anything like that, yes, you scared to death. She said, who is that old Santa Claus, anyhow? Yes, she is. All right. Okay, 12, the 43rd verse of the 12th chapter of Matthew. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out, and when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he, and taketh with himself seven other spirits, more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. Now, that is the reading of the lesson. Four or five verses there. Three verses, maybe. And the title of this sermon is Reformation Without Regeneration. Now, I know that's a great big long, those two great big words, but it means to be reformed without being saved. That's the idea. To be reformed without being saved. This lesson illustrates that it's worthless to reform a person without bringing him to the Savior. That's the idea in the lesson. Now, there are some things we want to notice here before we go into this sermon. We won't be explaining some of these words because words mean something in the Bible. The unclean spirit here means a wicked spirit. It means a wicked demon. And he goes out of a man. He goes out of the land and he walketh through dry places and he doesn't find any rest. He seeks rest but doesn't find it. Now then, we teach a course in school that's a great big long word, longer than a mule's neck, longer than the neck of the giraffe, and it's called pneumatology. That means the science of spirit. And in studying pneumatology or the science of spirit, we study these verses very closely. The unclean spirit here means a wicked spirit or a wicked demon. When he goes out of a man, he walks through dry places. It's all dry, no wet, no wells, no springs, no water. And he seeks rest, keeps on seeking rest, and he finds none. Then he saith, I will return into my house from which I came out. All right. Now then, here we go. My house. Man is made up of three parts: spirit, mind, and body. Spirit, mind, and body. Now the spirit of man is the place in man where unclean spirits dwell. They used to dwell in me, they used to dwell in you, if you're saved today. The unclean spirit dwells right here in the spirit of man. And every movement a man makes, every wink of his eye, every wiggle of his big toe, every movement of his thumb starts right here in his spirit. Doesn't start in his mind. Somebody says, my mind tells me what to do. No, you're wrong. You're wrong. Your spirit tells you what to do. The spirit works on the mind and the mind works on the body. That's what the Bible teaches. I know these modern psychologists say, oh, no, your mind works first, and then the body works. That's a lie.
Don't you believe modern psychology? The spirit starts working,
then the mind starts working, then the body works.
That's the way she is, brother. That's what the Bible teaches. You better believe that, not modern psychology, not modern science.
Because these modernists don't know what they're talking about. They leave out the spirit of man every time. Therefore, they leave out sin, they leave out unbelief, and they fix a man so that he doesn't go to heaven, but he goes to hell. That's right, brother. That's what we teach the boys in school in Fresno, California. And we teach them the truth, not a lie. I don't believe in this modern psychology and modern science. I don't believe in that junk. None but trash. It ought to be hauled downhill in the city trash dump, where we haul a lot of trash last spring, brother. So, yes, sir. I'll be hauled out. All right. This unclean spirit now dwelt right here in that man, right in that spirit. That's where it dwells. All right. And then he said, I will return into my house. I'll return to the spirit from which I came out. And when he has come, he finds it empty or unoccupied, swept and garnished, beautified. Yes, sir. This man cleaned himself up. Oh, boy. I'm quitting my drugs. I'm quitting cigarettes. I'm quitting my liquor. I'm quitting my fornicating. I'm quitting burning up buildings. I'm quitting all this lawlessness. Boy, I'm going straight. I'm going clean from now on. I'm going to be the best man in the country. So this demon comes back, and he finds his house unoccupied, and he finds his house swept and beautified. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits. Now that makes eight. Eight spirits dwelling in this guy right here.
Isn't that right? Eight, huh? Would you say this right?
Am I right in my mathematics?
Okay, eight spirits dwelling in that guy, and they're more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there.
Right, they dwell right here in this man's spirit.
That's right, eight spirits now dwelling in this man's spirit. Okay, and the last state of that man is worse than the first.
Well, of course it's bound to be, with seven more spirits there.
Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. So there are degrees of wickedness among demon spirits.
Yes, sir.
Degrees of wickedness. You know this man, I'm telling you, Brian, this is a moral man who cleans up his life. He cleans up his life, as I just said. And it's like pouring hand lotion on a cancer to cure the cancer. You just want to do it. It's like putting a coat of paint on an already rotten ship and expecting that ship to sail the stormy seas. Or it's like putting cosmetics on a dead man and expecting him to walk and talk and breathe. Now, I preached a funeral one time down in Murphy's mortuary, and when the audience came up to view the remains in the casket, that lady was smiling at everybody. The mortician had fixed her lips in such a way that she had a smile on her face, and I never saw such a beautiful smile in my life. There isn't a person in this house who can put on a smile as beautiful as that lady had in that coffin. And I thought, man, that's strange. That's the first corpse I ever saw that could smile back at you. Everybody else was crying, even the preacher. But she was smiling. Right. All right. This fellow right here was all cleaned up. And it doesn't do any good. Morality won't do you any good. These words were spoken for the benefit of Pharisees and Sadducees. Jesus compared them to cups and saucers and platters and plates that are cleaned up on the outside, but a lot of filth on the inside. You know that. And so what does this parable or this lesson teach? It teaches that the hearts of unsaved men are the homes of the spirit of Satan. That's what it teaches. Now I remember reading, I'm going to tell you every illustration that I told here years ago. I remember reading one time about a ship called the Titanic.
This generation doesn't know anything about the Titanic. I don't know much about it, but I do know that divers have done their best to go down to find the Titanic in the middle of the Atlantic. And I don't think they've had much success in finding the Titanic. But on April the 14th, 1912,
1912, the Titanic made her maiden voyage. So, I mean, she tried to make her maiden voyage from Liverpool, England, to New York City, April 14th, 1912. That's a long time ago. I was 1 year old at that time. Yeah, I was 1 year old. I'm an old man. Well, Tom, I'm not going to say anything about you. But this ship, the Titanic, was steaming full speed in the dead of night. And in the wheel room, there was a swanky uniformed officer that was busy at trivial matters. I mean, nothing important to do, just trivial stuff. And the phone rang. A minute went by, and he kept on with his trivial things. Another minute went by, and he kept on with his trivial things. Oh, he was busy. Man, that guy was busy. The third minute went by, and then he went to the phone. And there was a voice that screamed at him, I mean, screamed at the top of his voice, iceberg, dead ahead, reverse the engine! And that guy rushed. Oh, he rushed to the controls. And before he could get to the controls, that ship hit an iceberg with a deafening roar. And 1,600 people lost their lives out of 2,000. Lost their lives because that officer didn't do his duty when he was warned to do it. You know, my friends, this world is headed for an iceberg. This world is headed for a collapse. Jesus Christ will come back here some of these days, and he's going to put a stop to the reign of sin. And there are going to be millions of sinners, on top of millions of sinners, that will accept the Antichrist. And when they do, their doom will be sealed. So this lesson teaches that the heart of the natural man is a home for the spirit of Satan. Paul says, by nature we are the children of wrath, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath. We were not the children of wrath because we drank whiskey. We were not the children of wrath because we committed fornication. We were not the children of wrath because we put cocaine in our bellies. No, sir. We were not the children of wrath because we got up in an airplane and we flew around all over the world. No, sir. Paul says we're the children of wrath by nature. Mm-hmm. What does that mean? Let's get that word nature. G-N-A-U-S. That is the Latin word. That's what we get our English word nature from. Well, what does that mean, preacher? Says that's what we get by birth. That's the Latin word, and that's the meaning of it. Literally, what we get by birth. And we get sin by birth, brethren. We get lawlessness by birth. Every red blood corpuscle in our veins, every white blood corpuscle in our veins, every bone we have in our body, every muscle we have in our body, every inch of our intestines, every inch of our lungs, every brain cell we have in our brains, everything about us is lawless. That's what the Bible says. Lawless. We don't pay any attention to law. Get the law out of the way. You can pass all the laws you want, and I won't obey one of them. Why? Because we are lawless by nature, but we get by birth. Well, I don't believe that. Oh, all right. Okay. You call me a liar? Will you call David a liar? Let's go to Psalm 51 and 5. Psalm 51 and 5. The psalmist David said, I was shapen, that is, I was molded. I was molded in iniquity and in sin did my mother conceive me. A Carmelite preacher said one time that David's mother committed sin by bringing him into the world. That's not so. That's a lie. God Almighty means right there that sin was in David even before he was brought forth by his mother. Sin comes into our being at the moment of our conception. 9 months before we are born, brethren, sin comes into our, well, they call it a fetus today. Yeah, fetus. That's right, when we're fetuses, then we're sin. Sin is right there. In sin did my mother conceive me. It didn't say, in sin did my mother bring me forth. No, it said, in sin did my mother conceive me. When I was a fetus, 9 months before I was born, there was sin in me. That's what David said. Well, I know that's plain. Yeah, sure. Preacher, you shouldn't be talking like that. But my friends, a fetus is a human being. And you've heard a lot about those fetuses about to bury down here in Long Beach. You've heard a lot about them. They're human beings, brother. They're human beings. From the time we're conceived, we're human beings. I don't care what these modern... Boy, I've got a word I shouldn't say in public, but I better not say that word. Sometimes a preacher gets carried away and he's likely to say something that he shouldn't say. I won't say that. He's modern. We're living in an awful age, brother. We're living in an awful age. Years ago, when I first preached this sermon, years ago, Albert D. Salvo. Remember him, Brother Tom? Remember Albert D. Salvo? He was a Boston Strangler. Boston Strangler. And he murdered 13 women in Boston, Massachusetts, and he raped 5 of them. Well, that's been going on down here in Los Angeles in more recent times, hasn't it? Yes, sir. You've heard about the Hillside Strangler down there. Yes. About one young man who took a bottle of a knife. He raped a girl, and then he cut her body into bits. That's right. He cut her body into bits, her insides. He cut them to bits. And the coroner said it was unbelievable, unbelievable that the stench left by that young man. And yet he's getting off by plea bargaining. Plea bargaining. Yeah. Uh-huh. They should have strung him up right in the middle of Los Angeles and let him hang there until his body died, and let the buzzards and the crows pick that old dead carcass of his. All right. Under satanic spirit. Yes, sir. Adolf Hitler is an example of a man who gave this spirit of Satan complete control. Through Hitler, the devil tried to destroy the Jews, the whole nation. The whole nation. I read one time in the Memphis Commercial Appeal, that's a paper published in Memphis, Tennessee, about a Negro who lived in West Memphis. And he had a pet rattlesnake. He captured this rattlesnake when it was all just a baby. And he raised that rattlesnake from babyhood. And he raised it as a pet. And he trained that rattlesnake in such a way that when he whistled, it would come to him. He could pick it up. And he would stroke that rattlesnake's head with the tips of his fingers and with the palms of his hand. And this rattlesnake would eat food out of the palm of his hand. It would wrap itself around his arm all the way to the shoulder. Wouldn't do a thing to him. He took that rattlesnake one day to a county fair in Memphis, Tennessee, and he showed all the spectators what his pet rattlesnake would do. And I mean, by that time, it was full-grown rattlesnake. And those people marveled at that snake, how it would come when he would whistle to it, how it would eat out of his hand, how he could caress with the head of that rattlesnake with the ends of his fingers and with the palms of his hands, and how it would wrap itself around his arm and not attack him, not bite him. Well, he went that evening, late in the evening, back through Memphis and West Memphis into Arkansas, and just about the time he got to his home, he did something to that snake that aroused its anger. And that snake plunged its fangs right there in his arm, deep as the fangs would go. Then he gave it a thrust like that, flinging it away from him. And in 2 hours' time, that Negro was dead. And in 2 days' time, instead of sitting around a warm fire with a loving family, and warming himself and drinking coffee and having a good time with his family, he was lying in the mud of an Arkansas grave because he'd been fooling with that snake too long. Did you know that men can do that with sin? Men think that sin is a pest. They think they can eat sin and drink sin and sleep with sin and have a good time with sin. But my friend, sin is a rattlesnake. And sin will someday sink its fangs into their veins and into their arteries, and it will sink them into a devil's hell.
You might have said you're screaming today, preacher. Well, my friends, I'm preaching the truth, and I'm not mad. I'm not mad, my friend. And so this lesson teaches that the devil may return with seven other devils and take up final abode. And he returns to find the heart empty, swept and garnished, ready for occupancy. And the Spirit of God does not live there, but the devil lives there. And this does not mean that he immediately becomes a murdering maniac, but he does become a tool of Satan. Judas was the devil's tool to betray the Lord Jesus Christ. The Pharisees and the Sadducees were the devil's own children. False apostles are the devil's instruments in this day. I read last night, before finishing the studying of this sermon, I read that Oral Roberts had been talking to the Lord Jesus Christ for the last 6 months, and that Christ had appeared to him in this vision. And he said that Christ was 900 feet tall. Can you imagine such a monstrous lie? Brethren, Oral Roberts. And he heard on a nationwide hookup TV, and people pay him millions of dollars. And he says, "Oh, please, brethren, give me some more money for my hospital. We're going to get a remedy for cancer and for leukemia and for all the other dread diseases of mankind. Christ has told me that we must have more money for my hospital." And that Christ, 900 feet tall, has talked to me for the last 6 months. That is the most monstrous lie that ever came from the lips of a so-called preacher. Done by the devil. The devil's behind Oral Roberts. You know, it's said that 1/10 to 1/8 of an iceberg is seen above the waterline. From 1/10 to 1/8 of an iceberg is seen above the waterline. And a preacher said, when tempted to judge sin from outward appearance and judge it leniently, remember that sins are like an iceberg. The greater part of them is out of sight. That's right, sin is out of sight. This lesson teaches that the only solution is an immediate surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. The only acceptable time to be saved is the time that God calls us to salvation. If He calls today, don't put it off until tomorrow. Hebrews 3:15 says, while it is said today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. Don't harden your hearts. But soften your heart and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember what I said about the Spirit, that the Spirit, the demon spirit, dwells in the spirit of the unsaved. And then that demon spirit tells the mind, and then the mind tells the body. Don't go forward. Don't be saved in your home. Don't be saved between the church house and your home. You need Jesus Christ alone. That's what that spirit says. As we stand and sing, 377, is there a person in this house who realizes you're unsaved, you're lost, and you need a Savior? Will you come down here to the front and shake my hand? And then if you want to, we'll let you go back to your seat. We don't ask you to remain up here. Don't ask you to remain up here. You can go back to your seat. We can pray for you back there. We can pray for you in a Sunday school room. We can pray for you in a car. We can pray for you anywhere. As we sing, dear tonight, please. Mm-hmm. last a chance today, give him a chance today, please, as we sing this next verse.
Thank you.